Pablo Escori, Kevin B. Blackstone, Emily Kaplan, Bill Plaschke. Check this out. Ja Morant and one. A young Warriors fan tries to high-five him. Nope. Check this out. 6 seconds left in a two-point game. Booker on the free throw line. Doesn't like the Toronto mascot in his line of sight. Makes him leave. Is this where we are in the world? Where a raptor
can't be a raptor
anymore?
Let the raptor stay. What a baby Booker is.
Or a raptor. Be a raptor.
Tell him, Bill. Tell him.
Shoot her.
Clever girl. Shoot her. We'll get to that in a second. The biopsy from the colonoscopy that is the New York Giants right now as they move on from Joe Judge. You all laughed when you saw the QB sneak on Sunday. We talked about it on this show on Monday. We talked about it on this show on Tuesday. We're talking about it again today. But the question I have is, do you really think this quarterback sneak got Joe Judge fired? 3 weeks ago, he got a public endorsement. We know he's playing without his starting quarterback, his backup quarterback. But this became a national punchline. Pablo Escori, you're in New York. Do you think the quarterback sneak got him fired, or what was it?
I do, Tony, I do. Sometimes politics is about a moment. It's about a signature, signature anti-accomplishment. And this was something we had never seen before in sports history, right? It was the first ever, I believe, documented cold check. I know about heat checks. I don't know about things where you're so audaciously cowardly that it results in you losing your job, but that's what happened. Keep in mind, they ran this on second down, too, and then third down. And so John Mara, who comes out here today and says, hey, this is the lowest moment of my life as an owner of this team, the question I have to ask is actually, well, why did it take till now for this firing to happen? It seemed like this was the last straw, and he didn't even want it to be, Tony. He wanted to keep Joe Judge until it became indefensible because he cold-checked himself.
Kevin Blackstone, did this quarterback sneak get a coach fired?
Well, I guess you could call it the straw that broke the camel's back, because really this was just a culmination of a horrible last month, month and a half for Joe Judge and that Giants team. I mean, not only do they lose that game, I mean, it was their third loss in double digits. They lost to a team that he criticized for being a clown team, a clown franchise, which, by the way, it is, but that he's not the guy who can say that. And, you know, and it's just a team that was, it was rudderless. It didn't seem to be going in the right direction or any direction whatsoever. And so for the third time in the last 6 years, we have the Giants getting rid of a coach after just two seasons, which to me is way too short, but that's the state of the New York Giants.
Emily Kaplan, did a quarterback sneak get a coach fired?
No, it's the totality. It begins with losing to the Bears and then doing that ridiculous press conference where he's talking about all these phantom players who are begging to come back. And yes, that clown show organization. You turn on ESPN and you realize the Giants become a punchline. Everyone's making fun of them. Then you do the quarterback sneak. It's not just on ESPN that everyone's making fun of them. You've got Aaron Rodgers, arguably the best quarterback in the game, who's making them a punchline, too, on his Pat McAfee show. I do have a little bit of empathy for Joe Judge, though, because this team has only been to the playoffs once in 11 years. Over the last 5 years, they are tied with the Jets for the worst record in the NFL. So he's clearly just the scapegoat lately, but it's very clear he was not part of the solution.
So you have empathy for Judge here. Bill Plaschke, I'll turn to you here. All three are of the opinion it was a straw that broke the camel's back, and Pablo goes further and says it was this one decision that led to the firing.
You know, I agree with Pablo, because you could defend, and I think Mara defended throughout the season, the bad record maybe because of injuries. He defended the fact that he was so wacko in his press conferences because, well, that's the way he is. He's an eccentric guy. But when he does something on the field so egregious that you could no longer trust him, it's like he was like, whoa, this is serious. This guy's off the rails. This guy's got to be gone. Yes, I think that those plays were the ones that did it.
Pablo Torre, I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, Tony, also keep in mind, after that, he was reportedly seeking input, power over who the GM would be. That's what Joe Judge wanted next. So if you're John Mara, yes, now specifically was the time to say, we just got to start completely.
Well, when Mara says we need to win the fans' trust back, how do you even begin to do that, Pablo?
No, it's about credibility, and I don't think John Mara has the credibility. He basically said as much, Tony. So how do you start? I don't know. Hire somebody who's not like a friend of the family. Hire somebody who's actually good at his job. Mm-hmm.
New York Giants job opening is one of many this offseason. Let's throw Miami in there, surprisingly. Chicago, Minnesota, Jacksonville, Denver,
and a playoff team, Las Vegas. Emily Kaplan, which is the best, which is the most hope lacking?
I actually think the Broncos are the hottest club in town. They have it all. They've got cap space. They've got draft capital. They've got a GM that drafts well. You've got a running back. You've got young stars on the defense. The only thing they're missing is a quarterback, but you know they're going to put every effort in this offseason to find one. And for the team that brought you Peyton Manning, I think they have as good a chance as anyone to land Aaron Rodgers.
Bill Plaschke?
Emily, the Raiders already have a quarterback. That's the best destination. I was there this weekend. They're really excited about the team. They've won four straight games. They have the culture. Derek Carr has played tremendously. He's great leadership through a year of turmoil and tumult. He's handled himself tremendously. They're set for a great coach. And I hear all the whispers in the press box at Allegiant Stadium were that Jim Harbaugh's coming to
what?
Las Vegas.
Mm. Oh, so you're willing to categorize this as whispers or as I'm being serious here. Or are there sources?
I only get whispers. Now these aren't first-hand sources, but a lot of people are talking about Jim Harbaugh coming there.
Kevin Blackstone.
Well, I would have to say it's the Raiders too. I mean, first of all, they are in the playoffs. Second of all, they have a NFL real deal quarterback who's been a Pro Bowler before, and Derek Carr threw for, 4,800 yards this year to manage that team. They've gotten better slightly each of the last couple years. And that's the first thing you got to look at when you're taking over a team is the quarterback. You look at the fact that we've had coaches now fired. We just talked about the Giants, fired after 2 years. We had one fired the other year after just 1 year. You don't necessarily have time with these owners to come in and put together a program over 5 years. You got to get it done now. And not only that, on the defensive side, these Raiders are a stout team too. They got two guys going to the Pro Bowl, so I would choose the Raiders over anybody.
Pablo, you want to start with the best opening in the NFL?
Yeah, no, but for those reasons, KB, the best opening in the NFL has to be the Jacksonville Jaguars because they have Trevor Lawrence, the number one overall pick last year, of course, who is the franchise quarterback on a long deal, cost-controlled. And you talk about job security. The Jacksonville Jaguars have a longer leash for their employees than any other organization, perhaps in America. Think about what it took to get Urban Meyer fired. Trent Baalke survived a literal clown show, all the fans showing up dressed as clowns. Like, if I'm worried about, hey, am I going to be here for a while? Give me the Jaguars. Give me Trevor Lawrence.
You run to the place that has got people dressing up as clowns. Very, very Pablo maneuver there. Emily, you were shaking your head. No, please.
Yeah, I just think it's impossible to say you are the best job opening for two consecutive years. Like, that just shows an organization that's not going anywhere. That's what we said about the Jaguars last year.
Is there one that you believe is hope lacking? I know we just talked about the Giants, but Kevin, do you believe one is like, oh, I'd stay away from here if I was a prospective coach?
Ooh, I don't know. That's tough. You know, maybe the Bears, just because
Minnesota.
You always think that they're about to, exactly. You always think, oh, they're going to make it, and they're right back down.
Okay, so after McCaskey's press conference, I mean, it's funny. You guys, you hear these owners talk, and it's like, well, that's the job I'd stay away from. Pablo, you're saying Minnesota.
Yeah, Chicago has Justin Fields. I don't know what Minnesota's going to do with their quarterback. I have many questions about what they're going to do going forward. At least the Broncos have a new owner prospectively who's going to come in and buy that team. Keep me away from Minnesota. Yeah.
Emily?
Get me away from Miami. If they're getting rid of Brian Flores, what does your job security look like? I also don't want the Giants. I think there's just too many question marks. I don't believe in the quarterback. They've got to figure out Saquon Barkley. Plasky. It's a mess.
Get me away from the Bears. I just think, you know, Justin Fields, you're talking about him, Pablo. I don't think we know who he is yet. I don't think he is a certified quarterback for that team. That team's a mess. It's going
after
nowhere.
The things you've said about Chicago in the past on this very show, Bill, the Bears are like, get Plaschke away from us, so that's fine.
Well, it's true.
We move on. One more headline here from the NBA. Put some respect on our name.
DJ, send us some things. Play with us, man. Put some respect on our name.
What a week for Ja Morant. What a week for the Grizzlies. Actually, it's going on a month now. Grizzlies beating the Warriors by rolling them in the fourth. 10 straight wins for Memphis. Morant here at the decisive end one. Warriors fan, what is he, 9 years old? And Morant just stares him down when the high five was offered. Bill Plaschke, what kind of statement are Morant and Memphis making right now?
I think it's a huge statement. A couple stats in last night's game. They scored 20-0 against on points off turnovers in the first half against Golden State. They out-rebounded, outscored them in the paint by 58 points. That's the most Golden State's been outscored in the paint this season. They play hard. They grind it. Yet they have great young players. They have Steven Adams to kind of keep them all together. The Anthony Melton's come around. Desmond Bane's come around. Dylan Brooks has come around. They're all right there. This is a coming team. Are they as good as Golden State? No. But in the last couple of weeks, they've beaten Golden State, they've beaten Brooklyn, they've beaten Phoenix. So they can make some noise in come April or May.
Emily Kaplan.
Yeah, I just think it's hilarious that he's like, put some respect in our name, and then 90 seconds later, Steve Kerr, who everyone thinks is one of the best coaches in basketball, is like, this is one of the best teams in the league. I think there's a lot of respect to their name. And it's not just the streak that they're on. They're 16-8 over teams that are 500 this year, teams over 500. And they just keep getting better. Like, you think of John Morant, like, he had that sick block against the Lakers, and everyone's like, this is the best play of the year. The next game, he scores 15 points in the first quarter. You think of a guy like Zaire Williams, where every single game that we've had a consecutive streak, we're like, this is the best we've ever seen. So I just think they've got everyone on notice, including Plaschke's Lakers, because they're 3-0, or they have 3 wins against them.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Black is still.
That's not saying much. That's not saying much.
Yeah, I like them. I like them too. And the reason I like them is because they're versatile on offense. They got the third highest scoring offense in the league. But the thing is, it doesn't all come from Ja. He's got three guys helping him out that score in double digits. He's got another one coming off the bench who's almost scoring in double digits. So these guys can get it done with a bunch of different people scoring the basketball. And that's a threat to everybody. And they are quietly just crept right up there. 29 wins. They are in the mix for real.
Yeah, the 4 seed. I don't know why you say quietly. That just means I haven't been talking about them.
And you haven't been talking about
them. We absolutely have. Morant was in the show on Monday. We did the story when they had the greatest or the largest win in NBA history. Pablo Torre.
So I know that this team is a lot more than Ja Morant, as KB just said. I agree. But let's just focus in on what Ja Morant is doing, because right now in this 10-game win streak, he has been the most entertaining player in the entire sport, right? That is something that Steph Curry usually never surrenders. That is Ja Morant right now. And if you compare Ja against Steph, as he was doing implicitly with that kid dressed in the Curry jersey, basically, Ja Morant is the anti-Steph Curry. Everybody watches Steph and they think, I could be Steph Curry even though I am not the son of an NBA player. I can too be the greatest shooter of all time. You watch Ja Morant and you think, that is a different species from me. That is a guy with flubber in his shoes, and that is an incredible thing for the NBA to stumble upon.
You believe he is the most explosive little guard in NBA history?
I had that conversation recently
after that block that he had. Flash, do you have a last word? You need some points here.
Yes, in John Morant's defense, he's going to give that kid a Grizzlies jersey.
Thank you for saying
that.
That kid's I like that he gave the pause, but it's better that he came back afterwards with the jersey. We'll be back by ourselves.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
You know, I would assume as a group you understand that, you know, we probably aren't supposed to be here. We're probably not a very good football team. We're the, out of 14 teams I think are in, we're probably number 14. We're a double-digit underdog in the playoffs. So let's just go play and have fun and see what happens. Yeah, I mean, we're probably 20-point underdogs, and we're going to the number one team that's arguably the best team in football. We don't have a chance, so let's just go in and play and have fun.
Pablo, buy or sell what Ben Roethlisberger's doing there?
Oh, I buy it hard, Tony. You may think, hey, this is clearly a fake Horatio Alger story, a guy trying to maximize credit in the event that he does win, but I relate. I mean, look at me on this panel. Bill Plaschke's won Sports Writer of the Year, what, like 97 times? Emily Kaplan, one of the top 100 most powerful influential people by the hockey news. Kevin Blackstone should be a tenured professor. I mean, it's impossible, I guess.
Kevin Blackstone, buy or sell what Roethlisberger's doing here.
Let me get the snow off of me. Yes, I buy what Ben Roethlisberger's doing here. He's at the end of his career. We all saw that last week. He's absolutely right. Probably the last team into the playoffs. And you know what? They don't have much of a shot. So why lie about it and say that
Emily Kaplan?
Yeah, I'm buying that after all of these years, Ben Roethlisberger finally knows how to give the media what we want, content. It was like, oh, there's not enough Bulletin Vampiro for this game? Hold my towel, I got
okay,
this.
But I think everyone knows that he knows what he's doing, right? I mean, we all agree. We just saw this game 2 weeks ago. It was 36-10. Blaschke?
I think it shows the disparity in this game, the fact that the Chiefs don't care enough to give any Baltimore material. So Roethlisberger is making up himself and doing it himself. It's a rare thing of a team doing it to his own bulletin board, to his own.
So you love this.
Good move.
And you think it's very motivational, and with that motivation, they're going to now win this game, Plaschke, or they're going to now make it a game?
They have no chance.
After everything you just said, we'll move on. Buy or sell to Dave McMenamin's piece on the Lakers on ESPN.com today. Remembers that LeBron James gave the Lakers team a preseason speech about how they're like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from last year, all right? It takes some time to come together. They'd be, 7-5 midseason. Then they'd go on a run and win the whole thing. Well, they're 21-20 right now, midpoint of the season. Bill, buy or sell LeBron's comparison to the Buccaneers?
I'm totally selling this. The Bucks were intact and ready to go when he went on their run. The Lakers are still a complete mess. Anthony Davis is not back. Doesn't know when he's coming back. Russell Westbrook hasn't fit in yet. Carmelo Anthony's up and down. It's all LeBron trying to carry the team. No, this is not a terrible comparison. The Lakers
Emily,
are not going
to buy or sell these Lakers being those Buccaneers.
It's an extremely flawed comparison, but we're all storytellers. I don't think we should be in the business of gatekeeping what stories people want to tell themselves that get them all riled up and excited, motivation tactics. It works for them,
so that's the same as the Roethlisberger story for you. Kevin Blackstone?
Yeah, the difference here, LeBron, is that the greatest quarterback ever can make a difference on a football team easier than one of the greatest basketball players ever can make a difference on a basketball team. I think so, and I think that's what you've seen play out with Tom Brady last year and what's happening with LeBron right now. As Bill just said, he doesn't have that much help.
He doesn't have that much help? How many Hall of Famers does he need on the team right now, Kevin? Pablo Torre, how about you?
Yeah, I reject everything that's just been said, Tony. First off, Emily, all I do is gatekeep storytelling. That's my entire job at this point. Number two, the help that LeBron has gotten is the help that LeBron has given himself. Like, this is why this metaphor works both in sickness and in health. Sure, if they win, get credit LeBron. But if they fail, he's the shadow GM, much like Tom Brady is. He should get it both indictment and in terms of credibility.
Buy or sell three, Clippers 87, Nuggets 85 last night. This is a great storm back for the Clippers. Jokic couldn't get the last shot to fall. Nuggets fall to 20-19. Before the game, Mike Malone called Jokic, quote, one of the most disrespected reigning MVPs, end quote. Went on to say, he's not sexy. His wife might disagree. But he's not going to be on SportsCenter dunking on somebody or blocking a shot in the third row. But he plays the game the right way and has the IQ and the passing and everything every night, blah, blah, blah. There's the SportsCenter knock I want you to address. But also, how about disrespect on the court, too. Two free throws last night for Jokic. Emily, buy or sell Jokic is the most disrespected MVP ever.
You shouldn't see the way that hockey player stars don't get calls. Do you know how many Christmas games there were this year? And this dude couldn't even get one. It's a brash league. He doesn't have social media. It's a highlights league. His best skill is his IQ. Yes, he's disrespected.
Evan Blackstone?
Well, you know what? Don't disrespect him as a coach by pointing out all these disclaimers you have about his game. Promote those things that he's really good at. And I would also say, look back at Steve Nash when he got his back-to-back MVPs. That guy got dissected left and right.
Mm-hmm. Pablo Torre?
Look, I love Jokic, but in terms of all-time disrespect for a reigning MVP, Tony, think of Michael Jordan and LeBron James, guys who should have gotten MVP awards after the season where they won an MVP award because people were just tired of giving it to them. Like, congrats, Derrick Rose. Congrats, Karl Malone. You got MVPs, but you didn't deserve it. That is true disrespect.
Okay, but let's dig deeper here into his game. I mean, he might have the best per in the NBA's history this season. I know some of you scoff at that, but legitimately, he went to the two free throws last night, Bill Plaschke? I mean, this guy averages five free throws a game. What about the disrespect on the court?
He's totally disrespected, but he has to do kind of menial work right now, trying to carry the load with two of their best players out with injuries. He's doing very unglamorous, dirty work for a 6-seed team. Everybody's ignoring him.
That may be the point, that they're a 6 seed right now. It's hard to win it. We've seen Westbrook do it once, but from a lower seeded team.
All right. Plaschke, Blackstone. I would never say you're doing menial work. I would never make that assessment of what it is.
Never.
But Kaplan and our rags to riches story, Pablo Torre. What's the story, Pablo Torre? Showdown next.
Who'd have thunk it, Tony? Who'd have thunk it?
Devin Booker versus the Raptor. This was with 6 seconds left. In a one-point game, Booker on the free throw line, Raptoring. Booker hits the first one, but asks the ref to move the Raptor before the second. The ref moves the Raptor. Raptor has to sit crisscross applesauce and timeout. Booker makes the free throw, Suns win. Emily, who's in the right, who's in the wrong here?
Devin Booker is in the wrong. At Vegas games, Flamingo girls are behind the goal. You should see the places Gritty goes during a Flyers game. So if he can't handle one big plushy dinosaur, that's just soft.
Pablo?
Yeah, how did Devin Booker get radicalized into becoming Robert Muldoon, Tony? That was nothing. Mr. Whammy in Brooklyn has more intimidation than that Raptor.
Robert
Come
Muldoon.
On.
You lead the show in Robert Muldoon, Jurassic Park references. Clever Pablo. Pablo takes the lead. Mascot Michigas in Toronto, octopus obliquity for Red Wing Sharks.
Octopus on the ice.
A fake octopus found its way on the ice. Whoa. How do we know it's fake? Well, we found out later, but it looked like a real octopus at the moment. Meanwhile, they play through in the overtime game winner from Couture. So the question is, did this all play out the way it was supposed to, Pablo? Who's in the right, who's in the wrong here?
The wrong is clearly occupied by the fan that threw that. And I want to be clear about this for our future octopus overlords, Tony. I believe octopi, of course, are aliens. I'm afraid of them seeing this footage one day.
Octopus or aliens?
This is a perfect example of how hockey players don't get distracted, firstly. But I am disappointed it's a fake octopus. I've seen a man. I've been with him. Catfish Jake. Stuff a live catfish in his pants and throw it on the thing. Hockey fans, come on. Be better.
Oh, that's a good story, too. No time to decide. Pablo takes the win. A 3-2 win. Oh, so close.
Guys, it is my first FaceTime of 2022, which marks 10 years that I've been doing this show. And I just wanted to share with all of you, all of America, really a major development in my life. I got a Japanese toilet. You may know me as the guy who had no toilet seat for 6 months. Now, I have a Japanese toilet. I'm not using toilet paper.
Real Horatio Alger story. Rags to riches. Oh, congratulations.
No more rags.
On this momentous occasion, Pablo.